Longevity Discussions. This week we're going to do a fun episode, something different with the upcoming release of Forever that comes out Friday. I wanted to do an episode of me just going through the Bon Jovi albums and just kind of sharing some of my thoughts for what it's worth on each one. So I'm going to go through, this is the 2017 vinyl box set that the band put out for the album from 1984 to 2016. You can still find it online for people that don't have it. eBay, Discogs, they can get pretty expensive. So, you know, take your time and wait for a good price on it. But yeah, so we'll go through the box set here. So we're going to start from the beginning. I am going to skip the band's solo albums. I'm just going to focus on the band's albums. So the very first one, the debut album, 1984. This was the first album the band put out, obviously. John got a record deal in 1983 and formed the band as we know it. Richie, Tico, David, and Alec. Awesome album cover. The only thing I wish was that they would have put the band on the front and replaced the woman. But they did do that on the 40th anniversary debut vinyl, which you can get. That actually has the whole band on the front. It's pretty cool. But, you know, it's still a pretty cool album cover. I like it. This album is very underrated, I think. Unfortunately, John really doesn't like the debut and 7800 albums. I do. I think, you know, a lot of fans really love these albums because it's so different than what we know Bon Jovi as post-1986. You know, the debut and 7800 were albums that where the band just experimented with different things, songwriting-wise, musically. You know, some songs are very guitar-driven, very drum-driven. You know, so each song kind of was different in its own way, and just for them to kind of experiment a little bit on what worked for them, what didn't work. So some of the songs that really stand out for me on this album that are my favorites, Roulette, that's probably my favorite on this album. Shot Through the Heart, Not You Give Love a Bad Name, Burning for Love, and Get Ready. Get Ready just pumps me up every time I hear it. Fun fact, there's, in the last 40 years, the only Bon Jovi song that's ever made it on a Bon Jovi album that was not written by John is on this album, and it's called She Don't Know Me, which is written by Mark Evsek, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. That's the only song that's ever been on an album that John didn't write. You know, another fun fact too, probably the most cringy music video that they've ever put out. But yeah, this album, like I said, is kind of focused on, you know, the band coming together and figuring out what works for them musically and what didn't. You know, another thing that really stands out too, you know, you listen to a lot of the 80s hair bands back then, and none of them had keyboard players. And so with David Bryan, who's just a musical genius, the way that he plays is just phenomenal. I think that's what helped the band stand out too. You know, Richie's, you know, very guitar-driven songs on here. And then John's vocals just blow me away. You know, you could just tell this band just had so much hunger for success. And this album proves it. So the next album that they came out with was 7800 Fahrenheit. And I'm going to keep saying it, underrated, incredible album. You know, so 7800 Fahrenheit is the definition of what rock melts at. And, you know, just something silly. And, you know, I think John regrets that album title, but it's fun. Cool album cover, you know, with the different colors, kind of like on fire. And then you get, you know, John right there in the middle. Love that band photo on the back. I think that should have been the album cover, in my opinion. I love it. This is also produced by Lance Quinn. Some of my favorites on this album, Price of Love, Only Lonely, Silent Night. I always have said that Silent Night would have been a massive hit if it was released post Slippery When Wet. I think if it was released later on, I think it would have just been widely successful. You know, the band did okay with these two albums. You know, Slippery When Wet is obviously what broke them, but there's just some songs in here that are like, oh my God, like this song kind of went unnoticed and could have been bigger than what it was. Tokyo Road, you know, has a very weird intro but I love the song. Hardest Part Is the Night, I think, is one of my favorites on this album too. But like I said earlier, this album is very guitar driven, which I love, and you know, very rock and roll. Just a phenomenal underrated album, but I know the fans, Bon Jovi fans, really appreciate this album. So the next one, the Make It or Break It album. This was the album that really they had to prove that they could make it big, and obviously it goes without saying, one of the biggest albums of all time and the biggest album in the band's career, Slippery When Wet. I had some friends over yesterday and it was just telling the story about the album cover. So the original album cover was a woman with a torn shirt, and on the shirt it says Slippery When Wet. And John, you know, long story short, John didn't want that to be the album cover. Went to Mark Weiss, who was the photographer of the band, and last minute grabbed a garbage bag, sprayed it with water, and then John wrote Slippery When Wet, gave it to Mark, and that was the album cover. And one of the biggest albums in history. And this just made the band huge. Besides the hits, there's a lot of good songs on here. Without Love, I Die For You, Never Say Goodbye, Loud in the Streets. I always said Raise Your Hand should have been a single. I know, you know, Bad Name, Prayer, Wanted, you know, those were obviously massive hits, but I think Raise Your Hands could have been a single and a hit. Same thing with Edge of a Broken Heart. Obviously, we know the story about Living on Prayer, how John almost didn't put this on the album, and you know, that's our biggest song. I think Edge of a Broken Heart was a missed opportunity. I know it went on the Disorderly's soundtrack and movie and stuff, but I think if put on this album, put out as an actual single, I think it could have been almost as big as Living on Prayer and Bad Name. Never Say Goodbye, Wild in the Streets. Just love those songs. Fun fact, John has said in many interviews, when they were recording this album, they went to a local pizza parlor, and they would have fans listen to these demos and kind of give their input of what they loved, what they didn't like. And Never Say Goodbye and Wild in the Streets, John said, almost didn't make the album, but because fans loved it so much that they put it on the album. And I'm glad they did, because those are probably two of the best songs on this album. Gotta give credit to Let It Rock on here. It's the intro of this album, one of the best album intros they've ever done. It's called Pink Flamingos, which goes uncredited on the album, but that's David Bryan playing it, and then it goes into the song Let It Rock. Great album opener. Wild in the Streets is a great album closer, and just phenomenal album. You know, this broke the band. I mean, this just made them huge. You know, they had their, when they released it, they were still opening, I think it was for Rat, if I remember correctly. But they still had to open for some bands. And they were so huge that they were bigger than the headliners, so they had to fulfill that contract. And then this was their very first headlining tour. And they did so many shows in 86 and 87, and then went right back into the studio to record this gem. This is my favorite 80s album, New Jersey. Obviously, with debut in 7800, they were working on finding their sound, what worked, what didn't work, and then Slippery When Wet, they broke huge. But John wanted to prove that he wasn't a fluke, that they could still make another hit album, hit songs, and they did. And so they came out with New Jersey in 1988, and it was almost called Sons of Beaches. And one of my favorite photography photos back then is this photo here. I think that was photographed in Seaside Heights. But I mean, start to finish, this album is just phenomenal. Produced by Bruce Fairburn. You know, another great album opener, Lay Your Hands on Me, with the drums and the keys. My favorite hit song of all time, Bad Medicine. But some of the songs that really stand out for me on this album are Bad Medicine, Living in Sin. John's vocals at the end of Living in Sin just blow me away. Just love the way that he screams and sings, you know, like when he sings, you know, How We Fit In. Blood on Blood was a testament to, you know, the band and, you know, John's childhood. Wild as the Wind, one of the best bridges in the 80s, you know, maybe A Better Man Will Live and Die For You, but maybe A Better Man Will Never Say Goodbye to You. Then you got Ride Cowboy Ride and Stick to Your Guns, which you cannot play those two songs without them being back to back with each other. It's just impossible. And Ride Cowboy Ride was just a fun Johnny Ritchie two guitar songs or song. Stick to Your Guns is one of my favorite songs. It helped me as a teenager, you know, trying to fit in and, you know, making me wonder, you know, do I need to change who I am to make people like me? And that song kind of taught me that no, I need to stick to who I am and stick to what I believe in and what I love, and you know, just stay authentic to myself. Obviously, one of the best ballads that they've ever put out was I'll Be There For You. 99 in the Shade, I've learned to love that song a lot more over the years. That's the song that I would wish I would have been able to see live. But yeah, great album. And obviously, the band, just, I think they had quite a few number ones on there. I don't pay attention to charts and stuff and reviews and stuff, but I do think they had quite a Lay Your Hands On Me, Bad Medicine, Born To Be My Baby, and I'll Be There For You hit number one, if I'm not mistaken. Then they went on a huge tour from 1988 to 1990, and obviously that's what made the band exhausted and burnt out towards the end. And so the band took a break, and John wrote Blaze of Glory, and then Richie wrote Stranger in This Town. They just kind of took a break. And then, but eventually they got back together. You know, John fired management and came to the band. They had a meeting to kind of hash out stuff and feelings and, you know, bury the rumors. And they brought out Keep the Faith. And, you know, the album cover says it all. You know, just like I said, John firing management and saying, John saying, this is our vision. You know, that's fresh path and let's move forward together. The whole band putting their hands in and Keep the Faith. And so this is a new era for the band. In 1992, this album came out, and you know, with the 80s album, there's a lot of fun rock songs and just a lot of fun, you know, songs that, you know, young kids in their 20s would write. 92 saw a very more mature Bon Jovi, especially lyrically. You know, some of the songs were more socially conscious, like Keep the Faith. You know, but you still had fun songs on here like I'll Sleep When I'm Dead, Woman in Love, Fear, Blame It on the Love of Rock and Roll. Then you got some incredible ballads like In These Arms, Bed of Roses, and I Want You. My absolute favorite on here is I Want You. I think it's just a severely underrated ballad. I love the way that John sings it. And I think that should have been played live more. It's only got played live twice. It got played once in 1993 and in 2016, both by fan request. And John only did it acoustic with the very first verse and the chorus. So it's sad we never got to see the actual song live. Another underrated song on this album is Blame It On The Love Of Rock And Roll. Just love it. And I believe it's a great song. It's a great album opener. But I also thought Blame It On The Love Of Rock And Roll could have been a really good album opener or a show opener. Gotta talk about the other incredible ballads like In These Arms and Bed of Roses, just phenomenal. You know, the 90s, I'll always say this, the 90s was peak Bon Jovi. You know, lyrically, vocally, and musically, just the peak of the band, you know, from 90, for John, for, you know, 91, and then, you know, the band from 92 to 95, 96. So, yeah, this is one of my favorite albums musically. And I love the photography. You know, John cuts his hair, and that made huge news then. And weirdly, you know, this is the year that I was born, 1992, so I was only like 6 months when this album came out. But I just absolutely love it. It's just, from start to finish, it's incredible. And so the band, you know, released at 92. They toured in 93 with the I'll Sleep When I'm Dead tour. 94, they came out with Crossroad, which was the departure of Alec John Such shortly after. Just the greatest hits album, but they did put out Always and Someday I'll Be Saturday Night. Fun fact, John wanted Saturday Night to be on These Days, but ended up going on here. The song with Always, for people that don't know, most people that are watching this already know this story, but Always was actually written for a movie called Romeo's Bleeding. And it was a B movie and didn't have much success. And John watched the movie and was like, he didn't want the song to go in the movie. And so he put it on a shelf, and I forget the gentleman's name, but there was a gentleman working with the band that said, you know what, I think, let me see if his name's on, I think he did Crossroad. Well, And so anyway, but he convinced John to take Always off the shelf and re-record some of the parts and finalize it to what version as we know it as, became the band's biggest number one selling single of all time. And so it was a massive song. And so a lot of people think it's such a romantic song, but it's actually, you know, about a stalker that is so obsessed with somebody and, you know, he's unhealthy obsession. But it's still, you know, a romantic song if you want it to be. One of my favorite music videos too, you know, the storyline of the girl with the guy and then the guy cheats on her and she leaves him for another guy. And then the guy comes and sets the apartment on fire. And, you know, so it kind of tells the story about what the song is about. But yeah, my favorite photography era, 1994. I was actually at this diner in 1994. Not in 1994, but obviously that's when it was photographed. But about 10 years ago, I was there and very small. It's called Roadside Diner, very small diner. And got to sit right where Richie's sitting to have lunch. But yeah, just phenomenal. So then after that, they were recording These Days. And I say 90s was the peak of Bon Jovi. These Days was the peak of Bon Jovi. In the fan base, this album is adored, appreciated, and loved so much. And unfortunately, here in America, it didn't do as well as it should have. Overseas, it was huge. I think it hit number one, but really just phenomenal. I can't praise this album enough. You know, a lot of critics and people said this was such a dark album, and it actually wasn't, because John said that this is actually one of the most optimistic albums that he's ever written. And I think when you first listen to the album, it's very dark. It's very socially conscious. It's very heavy with what was going on in the world. And, but I think, you know, you listen to it and it's pessimistic, but I think eventually songs like Something to Believe In, it's a song where misery loves company, but let's find the answer. Let's find hope together and find the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, finding that positivity. So some of the songs that I just absolutely love on this album, Something for the Pain, Lie to Me, It's Hard Letting You Go, Hearts Breaking Even, Something to Believe In, If That's What It Takes. It's funny because when I was a kid, I became a fan when I was 8 years old and started to collect, it was in 2000, started to collect all the albums. I got These Days, and I couldn't get into it as 8 year old because I couldn't relate to a lot of these songs. And so when I got older and I started going through breakups and loss and just, you know, weird times in my life, I could relate to these songs, and I have related to these songs so much now. So it's one of my favorite albums of the band. Hearts Breaking Even, the best song on this album, in my opinion. Underrated. John's vocals are just absolutely incredible. Not only on that song, but the whole album. You know, songs like If That's What It Takes, Something to Believe In, Yokohama 1996, watch that performance. You'll see what I'm talking about. You know, It's Hard Letting You Go. That's a mood on its own. You could have that song on repeat when you're going through a tough time. You know, and there's fun songs on here like Something for the Pain. Heavier songs like Hey God and Damned. And it's a very bluesy album too on Richie's end. You know, Richie, a lot of bluesy riffs, bluesy sound. Richie's backing vocals are absolutely phenomenal, like, especially like on Lie to Me, the way that John write or sang together on Lie to Me and Diamond Ring. Fun fact about Diamond Ring was that it was actually a demo from New Jersey. And I actually liked the demo in New Jersey better than the album version. But the New Jersey version was very guitar and drum driven and electric. And then the band didn't put it out. And then in 95, they brought it back out, re-recorded it as a more of an acoustic type song. Now, I do like the way that John and Richie sang it live together. You know, them both on one microphone just singing it. But yeah, like I said, this was the peak of the band lyrically, musically, and vocally. Just phenomenal work, and it's sad that this album kind of goes unnoticed a little bit. So after that, they toured These Days, and that came out in 90, you know, they toured in 95, 96. And then 97 saw John release Destination Anywhere. Richie put out Undiscovered Soul. in 98. And then David Bryan also put out an album in 2000 called Lunar Eclipse. And then John also acted in a lot of movies. And then so in 98, the band kind of came back together and started to write demos for what was called Sex Sells at the time. And then eventually that changed to what we know as Crush. So Crush came out in 2000, and a lot of those demos from Sex Sells became outtakes. And this was a rebirth of the band. I'm living proof of that. I was 8 years old in May of 2000, and It's My Life came on VH1, the music video. And I thought it was so cool to see some guy who was a fan jump through hoops to go see his favorite band in a tunnel to perform. And I thought the band looked so cool. So you know, this was before internet and before you could get easy access to a song. And so every morning I'd wait for It's My Life to come on. And so eventually Crush came out in June, and I begged my parents to get me the album. And so I'd go to day camp, and I came home on release day hoping the album was on my dresser. And lo and behold, it was Crush. I played this album so much in the summer of 2000, it drove my family nuts. And so that awarded me to get the other albums. They didn't have to hear this album anymore. And it started the love of the band for me. And it started a whole new generation of fans that just found this band. And, you know, with 2000, you know, this and Bounce were very pop rock type songs. Very heavier on pop, which I loved. They worked with Luke Evans on those two albums, and I'd love to see them work with Luke Evans again. But some of my favorite songs on here, obviously you gotta give credit to It's My Life because it was the song that started it all for me. Say It Isn't So, I love how synthesized, if that's the right word, it is. Thank You for Loving Me, Two Story Town, Next 100 Year. I might as well just say the whole album. Save the World. I Got the Girl, Now That I Know That I'm Having a Daughter. That song just, I love so much. There's a song here called Just Older, and I kind of wish that's what they would have named the album, Just Older. I think with, you know, the band entering their third era and, you know, a band that's been established now and has nothing to really prove, I think Just Older would have been a cool album title. But yeah, just phenomenal album. You know, there's songs like Next 100 Years that proves how well the band comes together musically. And, you know, I should have mentioned this when I was talking about Keep the Faith, but Dry County, one of the band's best songs that they've ever wrote together, Richie's best guitar work. And, you know, songs like Dry County, Next 100 Years, you know, when they do the band jam sessions during this performance, shows you how incredible they work together and how well they blend. So I wanted to give that credit. I just love this era of the band. It was such a cool era. I can't praise it enough. And so they toured the Crush tour in 2000. It became the One Wild Night tour in 2001. And then John and Richie started to write for Bounce. And as they were writing for Bounce, the 9/11 attacks happened and kind of changed a little bit of the focus on that. And so there's songs on here, Undivided, Every Day, and Bounce, that John has mentioned that is about 9/11. This is kind of more of a, like I said, pop rock, but more on the rock side. A lot of good albums on, and unfortunately, this album kind of goes unnoticed a little bit in the band's history. You know, band doesn't play any of these songs live very much. Some of my favorites on here are Undivided, even though it's a very heavy song about 9/11 and kind of makes you choke up. I love The Distance, Joey, Misunderstood, All About Loving You, Right Side of Wrong, Love Me Back to Life, that's my absolute favorite on here. Love the way that Richie does the talk box on that song. Then you Bounce, you know, Bounce and Every Day are just so good live. I'd love to see Right Side of Wrong live again. As far as photography, really cool photography in the band's history. I love the way the band looked. And you got some really cool photos. Anyone that's watching this knows the photos from this era. It's just absolutely phenomenal album. There's a lot of songs I wish that they would play live again. And then so after that came out. They toured in 2003 with the Bounce Tour, and then 2004 they came out with that's not on vinyl here, vinyl box set, or not vinyl, CD box set, 2004 with 100 Million Bon Jovi Fans Can't Be Wrong. And then they came out with This Life Feels Right in 2003, which is not on vinyl either, but that was just their hits in an acoustic style setting. And then in 2004, in 2005, they started to write for Have a Nice Day. And this was the start of them working with John Shanks that they've worked with since this album. This album, I remember in 2004, the band played, I think it was for American Music Awards or something like that. And they unexpectedly premiered Have a Nice Day. And the chorus is a lot different. You can find it on YouTube. And then obviously they worked at the song some more and it became different. And so in 2005, I remember sitting at my grandma's house watching VH1, waiting for the music video to premiere, because that was the very first time that we were able to hear Have a Nice Day. And the video came on, it was also on the band's website, and John revealed the album cover through the music video, and it's the smirk. And a lot of fans have this tattooed on them. And, you know, so this was a really fun album, very rock, you know, Crush and Bounce were pop rock, and Have a Nice Day was more rock driven. This song for me, I think, is a lot, you know, like confidence and a little bit of rebellion and, you know, staying authentic to yourself. Some of the songs that I really love on here is I Want to Be Loved, Welcome to Wherever You Are, Bells of Freedom, I Am, Complicated, Story of My Life. There's an outtake, which is actually my favorite outtake of all time in the band's career. It's called Nothing. It was an outtake from this album. And there's an interview where John says that Nothing almost sounded like I Am. And so John took off Nothing and gave it to a singer called Bo Bice, who released it. It's a good version, but I hope one day we get like an actual release of Nothing, because I just love the way that John sings it. You can find it on YouTube. There's some rough cuts of it, but it's my favorite outtake. There's a song on here called Who Says You Can't Go Home with Jennifer Nettles. They are the very first rock band to have a number one country hit, and this just opened up so many pathways, which led to Lost Highway. And I'll tell you a funny story. When I was a kid, I was 13 when this album came out. And I lived in an area where it was a lot of country people and not a lot of people listened to rock and roll like I did. And I would wear Bon Jovi shirts every day. And unfortunately, you know, some people would make fun of me for loving Bon Jovi as much as I did. And I remember when Who Said You Can't Go Home came out, it was a massive hit. And I remember getting on the school bus and everyone would be singing along to it and loving it. And so I pumped my chest up and I go, that's my favorite fucking band right there. And just rubbed it in everybody's face. So that's one of my favorite memories from that time. But yeah, so, you know, they toured Have a Nice Day, and with how hugely successful Who Says was, they wrote Lost Highway. So I remember John did an interview early 2007 where he said they were writing a new album and it was going to be country influenced. Now, I wasn't a country music fan very much. And so me and a lot of other fans were worried. Well, I remember on the backstage with Bon Jovi forums, a lot of fans were concerned. And I was worried, oh, great, this album's not going to be as good because it's going to be a country album. Well, the album came out and we all stood corrected. This album was phenomenal. And I say Crush is my favorite album because it's the album that started it all for me. But Lost Highway was also my favorite album because I have so many memories and it's one of my favorite albums lyrically. And then Keep the Faith because of it musically. So this album I have so many memories with, especially with my dad who passed away after this album came out. But I remember summer 2007, this album came out and it was like the only thing that I listened to. I shoved it down everyone's throats, my families, my friends, made everybody listen to it because I loved it so much. Some of my favorite songs on here, Summertime, You Want to Make a Memory is my absolute favorite song of all time. And so I remember when they premiered that in March, they did on a radio show, Richie's dad was dying. I remember him saying at the end, you know, hang in there, Adam. And then so I remember recording that performance, and I played over, and this was before internet really, and so you couldn't find it on YouTube or anything. And I replayed that song over and over and over, and then finally the single came out, and we got it going on. Absolutely love that song. That's a duet with Big and Rich. Very rock and roll meets country style song. I remember on the 2019 cruise, John did two nights. One was acoustic night, and then the second night was a full-on rock show. And the rock show, they opened up with We Got It Going On, which I thought was a great opener. I love to see him do it with the band. Any Other Day, I loved it live, especially because the band would have like a jam session at the end, and you know, Lorenza and David and Richie, you know, would all have you know, a moment to shine in the spotlight. Seat Next to You, that song really helped me through a hard time. Like I said, my dad died after the album came out, well, 2 years after. But when he died, I held on to that song so much and just listened to it over and over and over. So it really helped me through a hard time. Everybody's Broken, that helped me as a teenager trying to fit in, and you know, like, you know, you try to be perfect and you try to make everybody happy, and you realize that the world that we live in, we're not perfect, we all make mistakes, and we need to stay true to ourselves. That song taught me that I'm not perfect and just be who I am. Till We Ain't Strangers Anymore, my favorite duet that band has ever done with anybody, that's with Lee and Rhymes. I just love it. The Last Night, One Step Closer, I just love those songs lyrically. Just phenomenal album. There's three Bon Jovi songs that I don't like, and one of them is on this album that's called Whole Lotta Leavin'. Oh, that's the only song I take off this album, but otherwise I just absolutely love, and I love the album cover too, you know, with the sunglasses and, you know, just the open road. And it's such a great summertime album to go on a road trip with. So they toured Lost Highway in 2008, and then took a short break, and then they came together to write The Circle. So my dad died in August of 2009, and the band had put out We Weren't Born to Fall. It was a single. And when my dad died, like I said, Seat Next to You was something that I just didn't stop listening to. And I had to move schools. I had to make new friends. I just had a hard time with everything, you know, adjusting to a new life as a 17-year-old. And so having a new Bon Jovi album come out 3 months later kind of gave me a lot of hope. It gave me something to look forward to, and in a way, give me some happiness. So this song really helped me through that. You know, The Circle, John said that it was about the band coming full circle from Have a Nice Day to Lost Highway, which was a country influenced album, to a full on rock album. And I know in some interviews he said that it was also about the band circle and the band lasting all these years. So I love the album cover. You know, The Circle tour, you know, you saw the band walking in the circle, and then obviously the band would take the stage. I thought that was so cool. Some songs I absolutely love on this album: We Weren't Born to Follow, Superman Tonight, Thorn in My Side, which is phenomenal live, the way that John Ritchie did guitar outro. Live Before You Die, Broken Promise Land, Love's the Only Rule, Fast Cars. A lot of good songs. Sadly, Fast Cars is very underrated. I think it's one of the best songs on this album. I love the way that they did Love's the Only Rule live. But yeah, it was just definitely an era that really helped me through a hard time. So, and then 2009, they put that out. 2010, they toured The Circle Tour and put out the Greatest Hits. 2011 was a continuation of The Circle Tour, but with it was called the Open Air Tour. And then in 2012, Richie wrote Aftermath of the Lowdown. And then John also started to write What About Now. This was a very, I'll back up. So back in 2013, there was a Bon Jovi app. And if you had the app, you could point your phone at the album cover and the album would come to life. You know, the Heart and Dagger would fly. The band, which is painted on the album cover, they'd walk forward. The Soldier would play the guitar. The Fist would, you know, raise, you know, go in the air, and it would come to life. I always thought, you know, that was 2013. And so now 11 years later, with the way technology is today, how much cooler would this look? I think with today's technology, it would just look awesome. But yeah, so this was this was Richie's last album. Songs that I really like on this album are Because We Can, I'm With You, Pictures of You, Amen, which showed you how incredible John still sang, especially live. That's What the Water Made Me, great show opener on the What About Now tour. What's Left of Me, very underrated. I love the lyrics in that song. It's heavy lyrically, but it's good. Thick as Thieves, which is my favorite on the album, Beautiful World. A couple bonus songs that they put on the standard version, Not Running Anymore, which was for Stand Up Guys movie, The Fighter, which I have a hard time listening to The Fighter now after watching the documentary, just the story with Shanks and Richie, and I don't want to get into that, but yeah, this was the last album that Richie played on, and it's definitely a weird time for the band, for the fans, and you know, to see Richie's departure. And so after that, they toured What About Now in 2013, 2014, 2015. John started the record company. The record contract was going to expire, and John had to fulfill one more album. And long story short, John and the record company didn't see eye to eye on some things, and John was going to look elsewhere for a record deal. So he had to fulfill one more album, and they were currently also writing This House Is Not For Sale, but he didn't want to give them that album. And so he gave them Burning Bridges, which is just a compilation of songs that were outtakes over the years that John would pull out and the band would re-record or refinish. And there was no promo, no photography. It was simply just brown paper bag and 10 songs on here. The song like We Don't Run got put on This House Is Not For Sale. Very different variation on this one. Songs that I really love on here, Teardrop to the Sea, Saturday Night Gave Me Sunday Morning, We All Fall Down, Who Would You Die For, Life Is Beautiful, Burning Bridges, which is obviously, you know, the turmoil with the record company. Thankfully, the record company and John, you know, finally negotiated and they re-signed and, you know, they have worked them to this day. So definitely a weird era. You know, like I remember when this album dropped, they out of the blue put out the singles, Saturday Night Gave Me Sunday Morning and We Don't Run, just out of the blue on iTunes. And then later on we found out that there was an album coming, and like I said, no promo. And they just said album's coming out August, late August. And you bought the CD and bought it on vinyl. And that was it. But yeah, a lot of good songs on here that you wonder, how did these not make the album? And then so, 2016, I remember this did get delayed. I think it was set for summer of 2016, but then got pushed to November. This House Is Not For Sale. So after the turmoil with Richie, the record company, this was a album, it was a statement album, as John says. You know, with the band had nothing to prove, and this was who the band is now. This is the very first album that Phil is signed as an official member, same with Hugh McDonald as bass. I forget the gentleman's name, so please forgive me, but John found this portrait of a house with roots, and that's where John felt at the time. You know, the house was the band and the roots was the band's history, and that, you know, nothing could tear this band down. You know, they could get punched or whatever, but they're not going down. So This House Is Not For Sale, the song was, you know, just about that. A lot of great songs on here. This House Is Not For Sale, Living With The Ghost, Knockout, Roller Coaster helped me through a really difficult time, through a bad breakup, through a transition in my life. Just a very dark time in my life, and this song kind of pulled me out of that. God Bless This Mess, I love that one. Just a lot of good songs on this album. And this is just the standard version. There's a deluxe edition, international editions, Target editions that have bonus tracks that didn't make the album but made it onto those versions. I Will Drive You Home, Color Me In, Goodnight New York, Touch of Grey, Real Love. All the best songs on the album. And they didn't make the standard album. And then 2018, the band got inducted to the Rock Hall. And so they put out a digital deluxe edition with those songs and two new songs, When We Were Us and Walls. Then they toured this album from 2016 to 2019. Saw a lot of shows on this tour, like any other tour, and just was really seeing John go through so much turmoil from 2013 to 2016. You saw John starting to have a better focus on the band and the future of the band and where they were going. So yeah, great album. And then in 2019, they started to write 2020. And at the time, 2020 meant to be, like John has joked, you know, like an election year, so a cute, funny title. And, you know, it also meant clear vision after This House Is Not For Sale, that, you know, John had clear vision of what the future was going to be for the band. And then this was set for May of 2020 to be released. And obviously the pandemic happened in March of 2020, and the album got delayed until October. And so there were some new songs that John had written during that time, like Do What You Can, which was about the pandemic, American Reckoning, which is, you know, about George Floyd's death, Lower the Flag, which is about school shootings. So this was definitely a lot different of an album than any other album. I know a lot of fans put it down, but me personally, I actually like it because it talked about some of those issues. I would never want another album like this, but I do appreciate and love this album for what it is. You know, it's a look back album for me. You know, you look, during the pandemic, we had nothing to look forward to. We looked at our four walls and, you know, it was just a tough time for everybody. And so having a new Bon Jovi album kind of gave us something to look forward to. And like I said, John has said, you know, he was a witness to history, wrote a lot of these songs. But really, it is a good album. Limitless, Do What You Can, Beautiful Drug, Let It Rain, Lower the Flag, Blood in the Water, Brothers in Arms. I love how drum-driven that song is. One of my favorite songs of all time is Shine, which is a bonus track. Shine and Love Can are the best songs in this album, and they're outtakes because they didn't fit the album. But Shine was my wife's and I's wedding song. So we danced to that song. So, but yeah, it's definitely a great look back album, and, you know, definitely different in the band's discography, but it's still a good album. And so that brings us to now. 4 years later, we're getting a brand new Bon Jovi album to celebrate 40 years. It's called Forever. Comes out Friday, June 7th. John has said it's a very joyful album. It's, in my opinion, it's probably the best album since Have a Nice Day. I think it's a Crush meets Bounce meets Have a Nice Day kind of sound. I was very lucky and fortunate that I got to see, or I got to hear the album at the New York City Listening Party. And it from start to finish, the album is incredible. It's very rock driven. It's very happy. There are some songs that kind of make you teary eyed, like Kiss the Bride and I Wrote You a Song. Right now, my favorite is Waves, but that could change. But it's a very happy album, and I think a lot of fans are going to love it. This weekend, I will put out a podcast episode of a review of Forever that I'm really excited to put out. But yeah, we get a new Bon Jovi album, and it's so great that our favorite band, 40 years later, are still putting out new music, and it's great music. They're climbing charts, and I'm just really proud of them. And yeah, a lot of great things to come. So thank you for taking the time to watch.